is shining bright with unspilled tears, thinking about all those wasted years when everything worth living for is gone. And brother, I find it hard to keep fighting on. Falling down towards the abyss, the reaper embraces me. This is the way it ends. I can't bear to witness. Just sees encroaching on all I hold dear. But somehow I got to get my soul out of here. Heart of agony, faint burning hole. I'm finding it hard to try to cope. The coast lies on the world with a conquering voice, with a conquering voice. A wasteland of the meaningless snow.
If this is the way it ends, Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 26th of June, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Brexit and More. For those who aren't quite familiar with that term, it's Britain or the British exiting the European Union, so they shortened it to the term Brexit. And we're going to talk about that and some other issues. Before we do begin all this, we dedicate the program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I might also add, what in the world were you thinking when you voted to stay in the European Union, or we should call it the Jewish European Union? Come on, my fellow Welshman, wake the hell up. If you have a comment or question or constructive criticism, please send it to this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. I do have the blog window open, but it does not seem to be working for me at the moment. Let me try something here to reset the page, because I cannot see anything. I cannot see. Hold on a minute. Because I would like to be able to grab any of the comments or questions if people are sending them in. So let me give a little test here. Excuse the delay. I appreciate your patience. One-man operation these programs are, and as Pastor Eli has often said, it's not a paid or professional position we have here, so you'll have to bear with us as we try to do everything basically ourselves while we do these programs. All right. Couple quick quotes, and believe it or not, it's interesting that I'm hearing a lot of the things we talk about here on Eurofolk Radio. You know, it was our vision that this become the go-to place for truth in these latter days, and it's becoming that, and that's a tribute to the people that set this radio station up. That would be Paul over there in England, and Eli, of course, Pastor Eli, and other folks who have contributed since then, but it was their brainstorm or their conception for this program, Eurofolk Radio, and we do say kudos for those guys for having the Holy Spirit speak to them, and for them having the wherewithal and the tenaciousness to put it together and get it up and running. And because of that, it has attracted many other hosts, and it's growing all the time, whose objective is to get the truth to the people, to the sheep. Because we live in a time, as predicted by the prophets, when there would be a ocean of lies and distortions, but only a tiny, tiny amount of truth. The biblical way of stating that, it was a famine for the truth, a famine. Of course, in most people's minds, a famine is a lack of food due to drought or whatever. But in this case, it's a famine for the truth. And we can thank the whores of the mainstream media. And, you know, I don't feel ashamed at all for calling them that, because they are. You people in the mainstream media, you are despicable whores who will do virtually anything for money. How can you get in front of a TV camera knowing that millions of people are watching and spew the garbage that you do? It's just unbelievable. Of course, the latest was Orlando, but there's other places. How do you people do that? How do you sleep at night? That's what I want to know. You police officers, I catch a lot of you grinning. You can see you holding back your smiles as you're going through this charade. How do you assholes sleep at night? That's what I want to know. Desperate times call for desperate measures, so please excuse the colorful language from time to time, but I'm a little bit ticked off. This is just getting so ridiculous. It's, as a lady told me here recently, it's like being at a B movie, a bad movie, a second rate movie, watching the poor acting, the poor choreography, the poor stage setting, etc. Now, I know the people down there guzzling their beer at the bar and stuff are buying your garbage, but how in the world could a thinking person even begin to entertain that's a reality and not a staged event? I mean, it screams fake. Watching the so-called witnesses to what? Them setting the stage? Them handing out the non-disclosure agreements to everybody that says under penalty of jail and fine, you may not disclose what you're witnessing here today? You guys with the badges on and wearing the uniform, how does that make you feel? How do you sleep at night? When you take an oath of office and we the people trust you, and you stand there in front of a camera acting as if that event actually happened? I give credit to a few that you can see in the background as the cameraman's focused on the main guy giving his lying testimony. There's a few in the background smirking and laughing, and you can see the expressions on their faces. And the mass media today is so damn stupid. They don't even know to try to cut that sort of thing out. They're counting on the fact that the sheep are so brain dead and so used to just sucking up whatever drivel they put out there for us. They don't even believe they have to cover that stuff up. They don't even have to hide it. Like the guy that was on being carried by the five or six people supposedly had just been shot. And yet they're carrying him towards the nightclub. Yeah, did you catch that? They're carrying him towards the nightclub. I guess they didn't think anybody would catch that. Or that the six people in the so-called wounded gay thought the camera had stopped rolling and they drop him to the sidewalk and he stands up and they're all just patting each other on the back and kind of laughing about, quote, being on camera. You people are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Thomas Jefferson had this to say, and I'm glad to see that there are many other broadcasters talking about these kinds of things. But Thomas Jefferson said that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Are you listening, people? Resistance becomes duty. Thomas Paine had this to say, "The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance." Now, for you folks that are maybe a little groggy this morning, maybe you partied too much the night before, what Thomas Paine is basically saying, the strength and power of these tyrants, these despots, it all comes from your fear of resistance to them. In other words, we, the sheep, empower the tyrants. You see, the tyrants know that the power is inherent in the people. That is why they are paranoid. That is why they spend so much time and money in the media trying to keep you befuddled and confused and afraid. Remember that quote of the Jew, Henry Kissinger, that we're always talking about here on the program? That the fear of something from outside threatening us, the fear is what will cause us to cry and scream for world government. Jewish-controlled world government, I might add. They have no plans of sharing the top spot with any other race. And the Jews are a separate race. They are not white. If I hear one more brain-dead moron refer to a Jew as a white, I think I'm going to vomit. No, they are not white. Only the uninitiated, only the ignoramus thinks that a Jew is synonymous with a white. You know, it's the same damn media that in the George Zimmerman case was talking about a white man gunned down a black man, trying to foment racial strife between the white and the black. George Zimmerman wasn't white. He was a half-breed. And on top of it, Zimmerman was a half-breed Jew with a Mexican. There's no white in him at all. And yet, the media portrayed it as a white-on-black crime. And the beer-guzzling public bought the nonsense. Unbelievable. Unity is an action, not a word. Remember that. Unity. We the people, we the awakened, we the believers need to unify. And that's a sentiment, by the way, that's going around this world amongst the believing community. I've become aware of that here of late from much of the correspondence I am getting. And for those that sent their fan mail to me and talking about the different programs and how that's helped you, thank you very much. Those little letters from the fans and from the people that are listening out there mean a lot to us because, again, we're not paid for this. No, we're not. There is an occasional donation that trickles in once in a while. But other than that, this is not a professional gig, so to speak. So we don't get press reviews. We can't tell from a paycheck how well we're doing. Let me stress again how much the fan mail means to people like Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve and Paul, Laura, David, and myself, and the other hosts too. Now, I will say one thing. I believe EFR, Eurofolk Radio, is becoming the go-to place, but that does not mean that there isn't occasionally things on there being said by either the host or the guests that I'm sorry, but just not even close to reality. That's going to happen no matter where you go or what you listen to, okay, from time to time, depending on who the host is and who the guest is. For one thing, I'm getting really, really tired of people bashing the Germans, the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the German SS. If you don't know the truth about the Waffen-SS, then shut the hell up, would you please? And that's not just the German half of me speaking. It's the body that believes in the truth and wants the truth. It's the body that loves Yahshua, our Messiah, who said he was the truth, the way, and the life. The truth, people. You've been lied to enough. You need to learn the truth. And what these people I heard saying the other day on this station about the Waffen-SS was complete and utter garbage. I just want to make that correction. If we had an army made up of the kind of men that were in the Waffen-SS of the German army, communism would be gone within weeks, maybe even a shorter period of time. The criminal element would be running for the hills. Unfortunately, you haven't been told a damn thing on the side of the Waffen-SS that's been true for so long. You're having a hard time dealing with the fact that it's all Jewish propaganda and lies. The very things that the German Waffen-SS and Germany as a whole were blamed for are the atrocities that were actually committed by the Bolshevik Jews. Isn't that amazing? But that's a typical Jewish maneuver, to blame you or somebody else for what they are actually doing. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Anytime somebody's accusing you of stuff that they themselves are actually doing, you're probably dealing with a Jew. Now, some of the notes here before we get into some scripture. The song playing at the beginning of the program is Ode to a Dying People. It was originally done by a band called Rahoa, which stands for Racial Holy War. Very good song, and it was redone by Saga, S-A-G-A. So if you want to go find it on the internet, I would suggest you do that. Ode to a Dying People. Going out with a whimper instead of the roar of a lion. That's the white race today. Going out with a whimper. Oh, yeah. What are we going to do about it? The Jews run everything. They got all the money. They've bought off the police departments. They've bought off the military generals and admirals. So, oh, Lord, how can we war with the beast? They've got so much power, so much Babylonian bogus fiat money. They can buy anything they want. I mean, hell, they own Congress. They've got their stooge puppet in the White House. They've got another stooge running for president in that female B-I-T-C-H. Yes. Who can war with the beast? Well, people that say that don't read their Bibles, obviously. Pastor Steve and Eli were talking about that earlier on the program before this one, Bloodlines. By the way, they did a discourse during that program on Romans 13, which we might do a little bit ourselves here, about the fact that it does not compel one to obey godless government. Nothing in Scripture compels the believer to give any allegiance to any government that is running counter to God's law. And if you can't figure out Washington, D.C. is about as godless an organization as there is on this planet, then you, my friend, get the prize for being dumber than a box of rocks. Because that is a fact. I was watching a YouTube last night that was sent to me, and I was very much encouraged for the folks up in New Hampshire. There's a program called Inform New Hampshire. In fact, their email address is informnh@hushmail.com, where again, you can look for them on YouTube. Their job Their self-appointed job is to inform New Hampshire residents of the criminality of government today, and they are teaching the United States Constitution to the people and explaining what it means and the reason it is important that we know what's in that Constitution. I would add that it's not only important to know what's in the Constitution, since it is literally the supreme law of the land in a secular sense, not in a biblical sense. Because even William Blackstone, the famous jurist of England, made it very, very clear. And William Blackstone used to be taught in our law schools up until the modern era. Then the Jews took over and they've eliminated his teachings because he was true to our people, the Anglo-Saxon Israelite people. But William Blackstone said, any law created by any body of legislators, any law that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. It has no merit. It is not to be obeyed. And those that created it should be punished and at least lose their position within your government. That's the very least, if not go to jail or have further punishment, depending on just how bad it was. The truth, and only the truth, folks. Now, we're talking about Yahweh's law, so I thought we would do a recap on Leviticus 19. Because a verse out of Leviticus 19 was sent to me earlier today, and I thought that we would spend a little time there talking about the law. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, or we could say the children of Jacob. Who are those people today? Yep, the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, and associated people. Notice it did not say speak to the whole flat earth world. It didn't say speak to the continent of Africa. It didn't say speak to Australians and New Zealanders of that day. It didn't say speak to those in the Orient. It didn't say speak to those in North and South America. Speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and tell them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim God, am holy. So note right from the beginning who this is talking to. Much as the New Testament, for all you Judeo-Christians out there, the New Testament's the same way. If you take your heads out of your rectums long enough to see the light of day, you can figure out who the writer of the gospel is talking to. Each one of you shall respect his mother and father. You shall keep my Sabbaths, my days of rest. I am Yahweh, your Elohim God. I might add here, when it says respect your mother and father, it's assuming your mother and father are righteous people. Much as Romans 13 makes it very, very clear that the authorities that you owe allegiance to are godly authorities. It is perfectly clear that Romans 13 is talking about that. There can be no doubt about that unless, again, you are a brain-dead individual, allowing a preacher or somebody else to tell you what it says instead of reading it for yourself. And the same goes for here. It's assumed that the mother and father are righteous people. If they're not, why would you respect them? I'm just asking the question here. Come on. Why would I respect my mother and father if they're pagans? If they do not respect and love Yahweh the way we're supposed to. Isn't the scripture very clear that Christ said, love nothing on this earth above me? And that included mothers and fathers. So there is a precedent there that mothers and fathers are to be respectful. Verse 4, do not turn to idols, nor make molten gods for yourself. I am Yahweh, your Elohim God. How many people out there worship money? How many people out there worship the Jews because of the way the media tells you they're God's chosen people? And that liar behind the pulpit, they're God's chosen people. So they get a pass on all of the things they do that are ungodly, like murder, assassination, blackmail, spying upon us, intrigue, theft, rape, etc. They get a pass on all of that because, well, yeah, God really doesn't want us to do those kind of things. But, you know, the Jews, they're going to repent one day. They're his special people. Yeah, they really are. Can you believe this? Can you believe there's actually people with a brain that functions that believe that garbage? That these people, for thousands of years, have been nothing but murderers, bloodthirsty merchants, God to them, God is gold, money, and the things money buys. But they're going to get a pass. They're going to get a pass because someday they're going to wake up. Really? Christ didn't say that. The prophets didn't say that. History doesn't say that. Common sense doesn't say that. But you morons sitting in those pews are buying that garbage from that pusillanimous prostitute behind the pulpit. Unbelievable. You've made gods out of almost everything but the living God. Television's your God. Tell me it isn't. You turn it on, the talking head gets on there and tells you all kinds of lies and distortions, and you sit there as if there's a tractor beam on your brain, and you're watching it and you're believing it. As if it came from the mouth of God himself. I've actually heard white people tell me that, well, if it weren't true, they wouldn't say it. Or if it was true, how come it's not on TV? How come the preachers on TV aren't talking about Yahweh being the supreme Father of heaven and earth? How come? How come the televangelist isn't telling me about the Jews and what they've done? If it was true, they would tell me. Do you know how imbecilic you sound when you say something as asinine as that? Do you really? I mean, to those of us who are awake, you sound like an imbecile. And patience is running out. Tolerance for you is running out. So if it's running out with the children of Israel, I'm sure it's running out with Father Yahweh. Judgment is not far away, people. And it starts in the house of Israel, meaning the white people. You've made so many false gods in your life, just like you police officers and everybody and so-called medical people, etc., at these staged events. You signed a non-disclosure agreement. You perjured yourself. You prostituted yourself. And it's in writing. Your signature's on a piece of paper saying, yeah, we're deceiving you, but, you know, we really wanted to be on TV. And, well, I am the police chief here, so I sort of had to go along with it. Really? So you perjured yourself in front of a TV camera, and there's a piece of paper with your signature on it. Do you know what that does? That means we don't even need a trial to find you guilty of treason. Do you people understand the significance of what you have done? You have made an open confession in front of a camera. It's captured. Your confession is captured. And to give even more weight to your criminality, your signature is on a piece of paper saying, I'll promise not to tell anybody that I lied and that this was all a staged event. You have incriminated yourself in public. That's the same thing as a public admission of guilt. Read the common law. We don't even need to take you to trial. You have publicly admitted your guilt. Did they pay you that much money? From what I'm hearing, you didn't even get paid that much money to do something as dumb as that. You people are amazing. I know that we make fun of the people that watch your garbage and believe it, but you people that were part of it, you're... Oh, my God. I sure hope they gave you lots and lots and lots of money to make up for what's going to happen when the people finally wake up to your treason. Oh, my God. Number five. When you offer a sacrifice of peace offering to Yahweh, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and on the next day. And if anything remains until the third day, it shall be burned with fire. Of course, this is talking about the old rituals. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It will not be accepted, but everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the holy thing of Yahweh, and that soul shall be cut off from his people. That's a biblical way of saying he shall be executed. Now, can you imagine what a holy father in heaven is thinking about you people and what you have done? If somebody who just ate the animal sacrifice that was given as a peace offering, if he had a piece or a morsel of it on the third day, instead of having it all burned with fire, that's worthy of death. Can you imagine what you traitors have in store for you? You liars and you misfits in the government who are going along with these Bolshevik communist Jews. How much do you think all that money and power that they're promising you is going to count as they're building the gallows to hang your sorry asses? How much do you think that money is going to help you out? Because the whole world's waking up to the fact that the Jewish money system is a complete hoax. We call it Babel bucks. Babylonian money system built on nothing but your belief that it's real, not based on anything of actual value, just computer digits. And you people have sold your souls to these cretins for a bunch of digits in a computer. I can't wait for that day. I want to see you squirm in the seat as you're being tried for your treason. And you're going to claim that, oh, the Jew made me do it. No, he didn't. He just offered you money. And you took the bait. He offered you praise that you're doing such a good deed, fooling the American people, because, you know, they really can't think for themselves, so we need to stage these events to help push them along so that they'll go over and murder more innocent people in the Middle East, and they'll murder more of their own people like we did the Germans in World War I and World War II, and the Austrians and the Italians. Yeah, we'll murder more of our people because, you know, they can't think for themselves. So you're helping us along. Just sign right here, non-disclosure, because you're going to see a lot of things that if they found out, we could be in big trouble. Just like they did the survivors of the USS Liberty that was bombed, strafed, and torpedoed by the Israelis in the 1960s. But they made the survivors, because that ship was never supposed to come back to shore, but due to the courageous captain of that ship and the men, the sailors that survived the strafing, the bombing, and the torpedoes, they actually got it back to shore. That wasn't supposed to happen. The White House was in a tither. The Admiralty was in a tither. Oh, my God, they made it. You'd think they would rejoice, but they were terrified. Oh, my God, they're going to come back and tell everybody it was the Jews that bombed them. Because we've been busy telling everybody it was the Arabs that did it. Oh, no! So the Admiralty was very quick to get to the survivors and make sure they understood full well the ramifications if they were to tell the truth, not only to themselves, but to their family. Yeah, members of the United States military and government did that to our own sailors. And that was in the 1960s. And if you don't think things have gotten worse since then, you are truly stupid. Treason from within. Verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. Neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyard, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the foreigner, meaning the visitor from another white nation. I am Yahweh, your Elohim God. It's basically a biblical saying that you who are wealthy, you who are doing very well, the crumbs from your table are to be saved for those who are poor amongst you. You should not be so greedy that you don't even allow the gleanings, which means the leftovers, or in this case here, the fallen grapes of the vineyard. Let the poor go out and do that. It serves a purpose. It's actually helping you. It's cleaning up the leftovers, but it's helping the poor in that they can at least survive. They have no money. You know, it's like here in the United States, you buy a used car. It used to be people bought used things who were poor. And now we tax a used car. Can somebody explain to me how that works? The tax was paid on the damn car when you bought it new. Why are we charging the poor elements of our society when they buy the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old car from somebody? They're paying a tax? That goes against the very principle of what verse 9 is telling us here. What do you mean? Why is there another tax? How did government get that one past us? The sheep have been asleep for a long, long time, haven't they? Verse 11, you shall not steal. Pretty simple one there, huh? Not a whole lot of explanation, except did you know that the definition of stealing also carries with it the use of somebody else's property without their permission? I once lived on a hillside in Pennsylvania with I won't say what I'd call him today, but an individual who thought it was okay to take my tools, my garden tools and my mechanics tools, and use them whenever he felt like it and pretty much just leave them wherever he happened to be when he was done in whatever condition they were in. And he thought that was okay until I reminded him. I said, you know, you're stealing my property. No, it's right there. See, it's over in the yard covered in grease and dirt, and I didn't steal it. It's right there. I said, no, you took it without my permission. You stole it. I wonder how many people understand that. Continuing, you shall not lie or bear false witness. Are you people in uniform paying attention? You people in government in Washington, D.C., in the state capitals, and even in the county governments, are you paying attention? You shall not lie. You know, we haven't charged anybody with perjury in government in a long time. I think it's time we start. Starting with the lawyers and the judges and the cops and the military. And most certainly, the halls of Congress. We catch you in a lie, you shall be punished. We're going to institute the biblical law. When you lie under oath, you will get the punishment the defendant would have gotten. Now, all of you people out there that lie continually in these capital cases, do you understand the implication here? If you lie under oath in a capital case, that means that when you're found guilty of lying under oath, you shall die. That's a biblical concept. Can you imagine how much it would straighten up the lying courts we have today if people were taken out and hung by the neck for lying in a capital case? Even you cops, you judges, you lawyers, and most specifically, you damnable Jews. Because just as Christ said, when your tongues are moving, when your lips are moving, you're lying. You know why we don't charge anybody with perjury? Because we have Jews dominating the legal system. They can't have a law like that. My God, there wouldn't be a Jew left. Hallelujah for us. Not so good for them. Verse 12, you shall not swear by my name falsely and profane the name of your God. I am Yahweh. You shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. And again, neighbor here in the original, as Pastor Steve was mentioning in the program previous, it's talking about a racial brother who lives nearby. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. In other words, pay your hired help on time. You shall not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your Elohim God. I am Yahweh. In other words, the deaf, the blind, of course, are handicapped. You're not supposed to take advantage of them. You shall do no injustice in judgment. Oh, criminal justice system, you better be paying attention. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor show favoritism to the great, but you shall judge your neighbor in righteousness. Hey, you can take the court system in most white nations and throw it right in the trash bin, based on verse 15. You shall not go up and down as a slanderer amongst your people. That's basically a gossiper, one who would spread lies and rumors. You shall not endanger the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, I believe Christ quoted that, didn't he? You shall keep my statutes. You shall not crossbreed different kinds of animals. Oh, wait a minute. Don't crossbreed different kinds of animals. But it's okay to crossbreed your children? Let's see, not my cows, not my goats, not my sheep, not my dogs, not my cats, but my sons and daughters. It's okay. Yeah. Really, people, are you that stupid? You don't even pay attention to the simplest, most even commonsensical things today. You shall not crossbreed different kinds of animals. I think by implication, that would apply to my sons and daughters. You shall not sow your field with two different kinds of seed. Oh, all you hybrid seed makers out there. Monsanto with their Terminex seeds. Oh, geez. Another violation. Do not wear a garment made of two kinds of material. We know better than that. But if you talk to the naturopaths, they're going to tell you you're messing up with the electrical signals within your body when you do that. But then again, you know better, don't you? Yeah, just listen to the Jew marketer down there selling his wares. He's going to violate that because that's what they do. They're anti-Christ. They're anti-Yahweh. Of course they're going to mix materials. But they're going to tell you that's a good thing. They're going to have a whole spiel that they're going to give you as to why that's okay. Because they're counting on you being ignorant of the law and therefore doing harm to your body. Why do you think the doctors today are nothing more than pill pushers? They're nothing more than drug dealers. Come on. If a man lies carnally with a woman who is a slave girl, pledged to be married to another man and not ransomed or given her freedom, they shall be punished. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. He shall bring his trespass offering to Yahweh to the door of the tent of meeting, even a ram for a trespass offering. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before Yahweh for his sin which he has committed. And the sin which he has committed shall be forgiven him. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as forbidden. 3 years they shall be forbidden to you. How many people plant fruit trees today and they're grabbing the fruit off of it as soon as it starts appearing? You're not supposed to do that. You're harming the tree. You'd get more fruit from the tree if you obey what Yahweh says here. Let it go. For 3 years, okay, there may be some fruit there, but you let it fall. And I've talked to people with vineyards and orchards and things like that, and they have followed this. The people that followed this told me they got far more produce off of their vines and out of their orchards when they obeyed this. So for 3 years, yeah, the tree, you leave it alone. But if you'll wait, that tree becomes a much more productive tree. How about that? Obey the law and you get a benefit. Just like I've told people for years, I said, you know, I don't have any health concerns, not significant ones, even at 63 years old. Most of the people, even half my age, are on blood pressure medicine, have artificial joints or had body parts removed. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm not doing really anything except that I was blessed that as a young man, I read the book and I believed the book. When it said, don't eat these things, I don't eat these things. When it says, don't put foreign material in your body, I don't put foreign material in my body. I didn't get any tattoos. I don't have any piercings. I don't have any of the things everybody thinks cool to do today. Now, that didn't make me very cool amongst the friends of my age group because they were into all that stuff. But it did cause me to be blessed. So the question you have to answer is, do you want to be accepted by your peers more, or do you want to obey the Father and accept his blessing? Which blessing do you want? Those of your peers or of your Heavenly Father? I determined a long time ago that however many years Father gave me, I wanted to be optimum health. I wanted to be strong, virile. I want to be what Adam was. I want to be what Moses was. I want to be what Joshua was. I want to be as King David and Solomon were. Men of Yahweh. Were they perfect men? Hell no, they weren't perfect. But they were Israelites. They were men. They were warriors. God, where are the warriors today? We need them, Father Yahweh. Our enemies have caused the fields of battle to be covered with the blood of our best men. But there's still some out there. I can feel it in my bones. You're still out there. They didn't get rid of all of us. But in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, giving praise to Yahweh. In the fifth year, you shall eat its fruit, that it may yield its increase to you. I am Yahweh, your Elohim God. You shall not eat any meat with blood still in it. Whoa! I know a whole lot of you don't follow that one. You shall not use enchantments nor practice sorcery. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. Uh-oh. That catches a whole bunch of people, doesn't it? Do not profane your daughter to make her a prostitute. And believe it or not, I know people who have violated that rule. That is just unimaginable to me, how somebody could do that to their own flesh and blood. But they have. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. Do not turn to those who are mediums, nor to the wizards. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. You shall rise up before the gray head, which is basically the gray beard or the elders, and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your Elohim God. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measures of length, of weight, or of quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am Yahweh, your Elohim God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall observe all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. How about that? Now, we were talking about the recent Brexit, they call it, which is the people of England deciding they no longer want to be in the European Union. Hallelujah for that. This is sent to me by a pastor who has moved to England some time ago, back in 2013, so he's been over there a few years. And he has here the British referendum, what really happened. According to him now, this is his testimony. He says, on the 23rd of June, the British people voted to leave the European community. Now, let me stop here for a minute. They voted that they wanted to get out. That doesn't make it happen, folks. Not, quote, in the secular world, anyway. It's just the British people have said, we want out. Now they have to go through the process of getting out. And I'm going to tell you, the international bankers, the Jews, have already started their propaganda schmears and the talking heads on the boob tube trying to convince people that this is an aberration and that really the British people don't want to leave the European Union. After all, we Jews have gotten filthy rich off of that. Why should we allow our slaves to come out from under the EU? Come on! So you're going to see all kinds of garbage put out by these heathens. But anyway, the British people voted to leave. More specifically, the English and Welsh people voted to leave. Oh, I was condemning the Welsh earlier and I had it wrong. It was the Scots and the Irish who voted to remain, not the Welsh. So my apologies. I misspoke. So you Scots and Irish, what the hell were you thinking? But anyway, the vote was about 51.9% to leave and 48.1% to remain. Does this have any spiritual significance? Again, this is a letter from a pastor over in England. Since moving to the United Kingdom as a British citizen in 2013, Father has been progressively showing to me that the British, and specifically the English, the white English, have overall been most faithful as a nation in serving him and been most blessed. When the 10 tribes of Israel from the northern kingdom of Israel were sent into exile by Babylon before the birth of Yeshua, they never returned, but progressively migrated north and west until they ended up in northern Europe, becoming the 10 nations that ultimately formed the original European Union. Denmark is Dan, Germany is Gad, England is Ephraim. Now, you may not agree with all this, but this is his letter. This is approximate because there was a lot of intermingling and crossbreeding, and many stayed behind on the journey. I am a Levite and from Scotland. England, by virtue of the blessings of Ephraim, remained most faithful to the Almighty, even though their religion was corrupted to a significant extent. Because of this faithfulness, England and the English have been blessed to an extraordinary extent, with the British Empire at one stage extending over a very substantial part of the earth, and English continuing today to become the universal language of commerce, industry, academia, etc. While much of England is apostate and in serious error, it remains so that England still has a special place in Father's heart. and he hopes a special place in the remaining centuries before the final judgment in around 3003. Now, again, this is his opinion, not mine. For this reason, the referendum that just passed was of significant interest to Father. I was planning to vote remain. I saw the decision to leave as being a divorce situation and fraught with all the damaging things that happened in a divorce situation. Then last Sunday, I received a link to a lengthy video about why Britain should leave the European Union, and it was entitled The Movie Brexit, Exposing European Union Corruption and Incompetence. This video stressed issues of non-accountability of the European Parliament and the fact that it was becoming less accountable and that the individual member states were progressively losing their say over their own destiny. I started to rethink my position on remaining. On Tuesday night, the 21st of June, I got on my knees and asked Father Yahweh what he wanted me to vote. He said, leave, and explained to me that because of the relative faithfulness of the English people compared to the rest of Europe, he expected that he would have a better prospect of people in England remaining faithful to the end than in the rest of the world, and he therefore wanted to prevent England from becoming more absorbed into Europe, as would be the case if we remained in the EU. I said to him that it seemed to me that the remain vote would carry, and I could not see how leave would win. I had read a newspaper article that afternoon which said that if the weather were bad, fewer leave supporters would vote. So I said to Father that if he wanted leave to win, there would have to be bad weather. I don't know if he's making sense here. And he replied, I will see what I can do. This seemed unlikely as the weather forecast at the beginning of the week had indicated good weather for the referendum. The next evening, Wednesday, the 22nd, the night before the referendum, there was a heavy thunderstorm and heavy rain, as heavy as anything I have experienced since moving to the United Kingdom. The next morning there was rain, trains were disrupted, this continued through the day with heavy rain in the latter part of the day, and further disruption to traffic and trains with flooding in some areas, such that in some cases people were unable to vote. London had as much rain in 1 hour as it normally has for the whole month of June. I did not think much of it. I went and voted to leave and did my work and went to bed. The next morning it was announced that Britain, and especially the English and Welsh, had voted to leave, although Scotland, Northern Ireland, and London had voted to remain. So Father's objective was met. I think he's got that twisted around there a little bit when he was talking about the weather and how it was supposed to affect him. The point being that irregardless of the weather or anything else, the referendum definitely stated that the people want out. So now it'll be an interesting contest to see what happens as we go further through this year and next, what the powers that be are going to try to do to stop this from happening. And they will try. I hope people understand that. They will try. So again, kudos to the folks up in New Hampshire with trying to educate the people about the Constitution and the biblical basis thereof and why it's important that we, the people, not only know what's in the Constitution, but inform and use those protections against unwarranted searches and seizures. And in fact, I just read a thing that says that some of the states are allowing the police to basically cause you to give up financial information on roadside stops. They're going to carry basically swipe devices where they'll get your debit card or credit cards or whatever, so you can pay your infractions on the spot. That's highway robbery, folks. You can't call it anything but that. It's highway robbery. You're turning police officers into bandits. And if you don't think that's what's going to happen, you're nuts. Because with civil forfeiture laws that came out some years ago, and I told people that that was not a good thing, and everybody bought the lie that, oh, they wouldn't do that except to drug dealers, because that's what the Jewish media was telling them, that our honorable police officers wouldn't confiscate good people's property. It's only those nasty drug dealers. Well, let's see. Did anybody take George Bush's automobile or the Clintons' automobiles? Well, they're as big a drug pusher in this country as any. They're still driving around in their automobiles. Their bank accounts are still full of Jew money. So what drug dealers are you talking about? Oh, it's mom and dad going down in their new Porsche or their new Audi, and the police officers kind of thought it would be nice to have one of them in their arsenal of automobiles. And you people out there might think I'm crazy, but I still remember the day over 15 years ago when I was in Tampa, Florida, riding in the car with my dad, and alongside of us was a tow truck with a Porsche that had just had the local sheriff's department colors and logos painted on it. And I still remember looking at my father and I said, what the hell does the local sheriff's department need with a Porsche? But it was easy pickings. And don't think for 1 minute that there aren't plenty of people's cars and property in the possession of law enforcement and government in general that didn't come from honest people. Don't think for 1 minute that all of that stolen property came from, quote, drug dealers. If you believe that, I've got swampland here in Florida I would love to sell to you, because you're dumber than a box of rocks. Anyway, it just continues. It's going to continue because there's an old saying, you get as much tyranny as you accept. You get as much tyranny as you accept. If you're tired of the tyranny, then get off your ass and unite, people. And don't look for perfection. There's no person out here you're going to agree with 100% of the time. It's not going to happen. Christ himself walked with the disciples for 3.5 years. Were the disciples in total agreement on every issue? According to the books I've read, no, they weren't. Now there, the disciples, all 12 of them, walked with the Father in a flesh body. They didn't have television. They didn't have iPads. They certainly didn't have walkie-talkies and cassette players and CD players. They had none of that stuff to distract them. They had a full 3.5 years of undivided attention to our King of Kings. And yet after 3.5 years of intensive training, they still didn't agree on everything, did they? What makes you think we're going to agree with everything of our current leaders? Yahweh has leaders, folks, already in mind, already trained to lead you through what's going to happen in the near future. But you're not ready for them. You're getting closer, though. This vote in England is a very strong indicator of the mindset of the House of Israel, at least in the United Kingdom. The fact that Donald Trump is so popular here in the United States is an indicator that the House of Israel is waking up in this country. So you're getting closer. Hallelujah. You're getting closer. The leaders are in hiding at this time. Not because they're afraid. They've been in hiding waiting for you to wake up, for you to cry out, for you to be so fed up with the lies, the deception, the hideous demonic behavior that you'll finally turn off your Talmud vision and spend some time with His Word. You'll turn off those damnable radios and electronic devices and talk to the Father in prayer. You'll stop listening to the Jew screaming out his lies and profanity and start to ask Father for help. Send us leaders, Father Yahweh. If you want us to fight, and even if we must die, then lead us out of this abomination. The leaders are there, people. Father's been training them for a long time. Men with good hearts, stout hearts, men who do not like what they see, men who are burning with righteous indignation, men who will gladly destroy the enemy. They're out there. They're waiting for you. Father is waiting for you. Call upon my name, saith Yahweh of hosts. As the song by Carl Klang talks about that, and Jonathan David Brown has another song, Call Upon My Name. Now, while things continue to deteriorate, we also have a huge problem developing south of our country here in Mexico. Mexico is becoming unraveled, much like Venezuela, believe it or not. They're having massive demonstrations down there by the teachers and recently even by doctors. Massive demonstrations. And, as always is the case, when you put that many law enforcement into the field and you've given them body armor and weapons, and you've got an unarmed populace, a few of those, I can think of some colorful things to call them, but I guess I'll save that. These individuals, we'll say, take it upon themselves to pop off a few rounds, and now 8 or 9 people are dead and many more wounded. I've studied a little bit about Mexican history, and I'm going to make a prediction that it won't be too much longer and you're going to find dead policemen in ravines and find their bodies in burned out police cars in the near future. Now, why do I say that? Because that's historical fact, and it makes common sense. When you start murdering, and these people didn't commit a crime, so when you start murdering people who are protesting wrongdoing by your government, so you men in uniform need to pay attention. I'm talking to you. When you persist in doing that, first of all, you lose any protection from Father Yahweh, because now you are the hand of the tyrant. You're doing the bidding of the tyrant. You'll get away with it for a while. You will. There'll be a short period of time when you're going to get away with it. But there is a time coming when the people will rise up. Now, the people of Mexico have proven that they can do this over and over again. It wasn't all that many years ago I read the report about a crowd going onto the steps of the courthouse and grabbing the judge who had let a criminal go because of paying him money, probably a Jew. But the judge had let this criminal go, and the crowd got a hold of him, and they macheted him to death on the steps of the courthouse. Now, there's people who say, well, that's just terrible. That's just terrible. The people taking that into their own hands. But these same people don't see a problem when these jackbooted thugs with their body armor, their shields, and automatic weapons mow down the public? You don't see a problem with that? Let's see. Yahweh says murder is murder, and murder requires a death penalty of the criminal who perpetrated the murder. Now, that's pretty simple. Now, people say, well, when the government kills somebody, it's not murder. Really? And just what do you think gave government a free pass on Yahweh's law? Come on, answer my question. What in your pea brain did you come up with that says that they have a pass to violate God's law? Come on, I'm waiting. I know it doesn't exist, so I'd be here for a long time waiting for that answer. No, they do not get a free pass. Murder, by definition, is the shedding of innocent blood, much as the baby in the mother's womb being cut to pieces and pulled out by these abortion doctors. That is murder. I don't care how you dress it. I don't care how much Jewish garbage that you spew out to try to make it sound justifiable. It is not justifiable. It is murder. Clear and simple. Government agents called police officers or National Guardsmen or military carrying out the dictates of a tyrant that sheds innocent blood makes them murderers. Not soldiers. Not in combat against somebody equally equipped, which is what warfare is all about. This is undeclared war on the civilians. Nothing honorable in that. Lavoy Finicum was gunned down in Oregon by such creatures. And again, I pray Yahweh that very soon those responsible for Lavoy's murder will be drug out into the streets and the crowd do with them as they see fit. I would like to see those responsible for the murder of Randy Weaver's family done the same way. The murder of the Branch Davidian people done the same way. The murders of the innocent people in Oklahoma City done the same way. The innocent firemen and policemen and people in the buildings in New York City done the same way. The people who lied to us about weapons of mass destruction that caused the deaths of over a million innocent people, drag them out here and try them for their crimes. You want to see this earth cleaned up? You know, everybody talks about, you know, the weather's terrible. We've got pollution. Our food has been contaminated. It's useless as nutritional value to us. Water is contaminated. Drugs everywhere. Criminal behavior everywhere. And everybody bemoans that. But do you know what it's going to take to clean it? All you got to do is read the scripture. In the Old Testament, it makes it very clear, your land is cursed. Your land is cursed until the innocent blood has been vindicated. Now, that probably sounds like Greek to some of you people. But what it's saying is that your land is cursed until you get off of your sorry ass and you join ranks with the other militia, the other citizens' protection groups, righteous law enforcement, and you go after these bastards, and you put them on trial, and when found guilty, you execute them. That's it. So, in the meantime, stop belly aching. You are part of the problem. You soap opera watchers, you reality TV watchers, You people who believe the lying talking heads on television, you are part of the problem. When you decide to use the brain that God gave you for something other than trying to figure out how to get to the next level on your damn computer game, when you start thinking again, when you're able to form an opinion on your own without a talking head on the boob tube talking to you, when you can start looking to your neighbor who believes in justice and righteousness, and instead of trying to find somebody you're in perfect alignment with, but you want to see something done, then it'll get fixed. And yes, it's going to cost blood. It's been costing blood. Up till now, it's been the innocent shedding the blood. Don't you think it's time that the wicked start bleeding? I sure as hell do. I pray Yahweh every day for that. Please, Father, if you want to take me home, you can do that this afternoon. That's fine with me. I know where my final resting place is. I know from where I came. If Father wants to do that, I got no problem with that. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because to be quite honest, it is painful sitting down here watching this death by a thousand cuts. It is extremely painful. Especially when the fix is so easy to discern. It's called obedience. It's called obedience. It's called love your neighbor, love your family, love your race to the point you're willing to fight for it. Not just sit around and talk about it. The enemy loves it when you just sit around and talk about it. What they're afraid of is when you stop talking and you start loading up that 7.62 by 39 cartridge into the magazine of your rifle and you fix the razor sharp bayonet to the end and you have righteous indignation in your heart. That is what they're afraid of. The founding fathers said when the people are afraid of the government, there is tyranny. When the government is afraid of the people, there is liberty. You see the difference, people? Somebody's going to be afraid. There is no way around that. It's the way of things. Till Shiloh come, that's the way of things. So, do you want we the people to be living in fear? Or do you think our public servants should be fearful of us? I think the latter is the better way to go. They should lay awake at night being a somewhat afraid of us. If they commit tyranny, if they steal our property, which they have done, by the way. They have lied. They have broken treaties. They have stolen property. I've had quite a few people whose relatives should be filthy rich due to either oil or some other precious metal or precious resource in the soil of land that was owned by their families for generations. And then all of a sudden, something happens. Family members are gunned down in the front yard. Lawyers show up with some legal document that says some Jew over here should own the land. And the next thing you know, the people are put out of their own property, their own farms, their own businesses, so that the Jew, carpetbagger, can come in and steal what you made. And you think this doesn't go on? Oh, yes, it does. The crimes committed by these people are a stench in the nostrils of Father Yahweh. And a lot of people say, well, if that's true, Dan, why shouldn't Father Yahweh fix it? Why don't we fix it? does Father got to do everything for us? Do we not have a brain? Do we not have arms and legs? Do we not have the ability to resist evil, as it says in Proverbs? As it says in the book of Psalms, resist evil with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Last time I checked, that's pretty much everything you are. And instead, we just think we should pray about it and let Father do all the work. He put us here to tend the garden. The Adamic people were put here to tend the garden. We're not doing a very good job, are we? Remember Psalm 149, folks? I'm just going to read that one section right here. Praising Yahweh, Psalm 149 at verse 6. May the high praises of Yahweh be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. All of his saints have this honor. Praise Yah. How about that? This honor hath all the saints. A lot of news coming out, too, that some of the broadcasters are saying between now and July 15th, look out. You could see almost anything, especially after the Brexit decision. Lord knows what these creatures will do in their desperation. False flags certainly could be part of it. The U.S. dollar, on its way out, people. More and more countries are turning away their ships with cargo here because they want something other than the Jew Babylonian dollar that's based on nothing but computer digits. The rest of the world's figuring it out. You better wake up, Americans. You better wake up, white nations. I liked what Pastor Eli and Steve were talking about, the Laodicean church of today, the lukewarm church. Yahweh says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Be cold for the Antichrist, but at least be passionate about it. If you want to be a communist, if you want to be a lover of the heathens and the misfits, at least stand up and be passionate about it. It's you lukewarm. You don't stand for anything, people, that he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And we're about out of time. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for Eurofolk Radio and the fact that we're able to come here and share your words and your testimony to a world that is sinking deeper and deeper in the mire of satanic behavior. There are those of your children crying out, Father Yahweh, I would ask that you bless them. Bless them in their spirits, bless their bodies with health, bless them with good discernment. And always, Father, as we do your work, would you please watch over us and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in the name of Yahweh, our King of Kings. Hallelujah.